This is a WSMI podcast from the Tally Broadcasting Station.
The Food and Drug Administration announced on Friday it will not take actions in its animal feed rule to discourage the use of spent grains. FDA Deputy Commissioner for Foods and Veterinary Medicine Michael Taylor said the FDA will work to clarify the rule. Feedback during the comment period indicated the proposal might disrupt or eliminate the practice of using spent grains as animal feed. The requirements for animal feed proposed would have been similar to human food requirements, which, Taylor said, would have imposed cost without adding value for food or feed safety. He called that something that does not make sense and stated, "We are not going to do it." Monsanto has introduced a free app for your iPhone, iPad, or computer called Climate Basic. Fran DeVille is a technical agronomist for Monsanto.
The neat thing about this tool, and I think it'll be something great for farmers going forward, is that they can get a field-by-field recording of what is happening as far as temperature, rainfall, get a forecast about what the potential weather is going to be down the road, and also look at things like where the wind is coming from, what the speed is. And this is constantly updated for every registered field in the United States. So a grower, no matter how spread out he is, he's able to select each individual field he has and get all the pertinent information he'd like to have at his fingertips, you know, without having to run down the roads and check or make a lot of phone calls.
Again, that was Fran DeVille with Monsanto. The western corn rootworm is the most expensive insect pest of corn. Farmers across the planet battle it, and it just keeps adapting. Now the little bug that gnaws off roots and chews on ears has developed resistance to the first genetic modification made to corn to control it. The resistance just keeps spreading, says University of Illinois Extension entomologist Mike Gray.
That's correct. Last year, in cooperation with Joe Spencer, who's an entomologist in the Illinois Natural History Survey, Joe conducted some plant-based bioassays, and recently we reported on those results for Mercer and McDonough and Sangamon counties, and we were able to confirm that there are resistance issues to that Cry3BB1 protein that you mentioned. That brings the total up in terms of confirmed cases to resistance in Illinois to 6 counties.
Henry, Whiteside, and LaSalle counties round out the confirmed list. 2 more, Livingston and Kankakee, may yet be added to that tally. However, more tests need to be run. Farmers, in the meantime, are turning back to the old standby soil insecticides to protect the corn crop. This is happening in Illinois, Iowa, Nebraska, Minnesota, and South Dakota.
So we're seeing this planting time use of soil insecticides increase pretty remarkably. And that's unfortunate in some respects because in most cases, a lot of producers have switched over to the pyramided BT hybrids. Again, these are hybrids that are expressing not just one rootworm protein, but 2 proteins. And whether it's University of Illinois data or data coming out from other land grants, we're pretty united in the fact that we don't believe that the use of a planting time soil insecticide with a pyramid is a good idea. There should be plenty of protection from the use of that pyramided BT hybrid.
Here are some reasons not to add a soil insecticide to a pyramid BT corn hybrid at planting. Unlikely to significantly improve root protection, unlikely to improve yields. It may hasten resistance development due to delaying adult emergence even more significantly and leading to non-random mating, and increases the risk to non-target organisms and beneficial insects. That's all for part one of this afternoon's Farm Show. Stay tuned for part two coming up after this.
Any parent can tell you that money doesn't grow on trees, but it can grow in an IRA. Country Financial Representative Wayne Schaefer suggests that you consider using your bonus check for just that, strengthening your financial status. Instead of buying another TV, invest in your future. To learn how to take advantage of this opportunity, contact Country Representative Wayne Schaefer in Jerseyville at 498-5800. Insurance products issued by Country Investors Life Insurance Company.
Attention farmers, for help with your farm beds, hoist, tag, or pusher axles, lift gates, or any other truck-related equipment, call Carlinville Truck Equipment at 854-6706. They have a large supply of steel and aluminum toolboxes for your truck at competitive prices. They provide speedy and reliable service, and you'll find the staff friendly, courteous, and ready to serve your needs. Carlinville Truck Equipment, 217-854-6706. Visit ctemi.com for more information. Carlinville Truck Equipment.
Jersey County Grain asks farmers to confirm that the seeds they intend to plant are approved for all major export markets, including China. If not, Jersey County Grain encourages you to check with your seed reps to see if your order can be exchanged for seed that is approved for global use. Jersey County Grain will not be accepting any grain that contains certain trait stacks. Get grain quotes for Jerseyville or Hardin at jerseycountygrain.com or get daily grain bids by email or text message. See Jersey County Grain for details.
When you join a Farm Bureau in Illinois, you join a leader. Illinois Farm Bureaus are first in agriculture, representing 8 out of 10 Illinois farmers, first in farm insurance, where members can get complete farm and family coverage at preferred rates, and first in business and member benefits. Providing top value farm services, up-to-date information, supplies, and support for farming professionals. Call Macoupin County Farm Bureau for more details. Illinois Farm Bureaus, where membership means first-rate value.
Wolf Oil in Litchfield has been serving farmers and the community for over 50 years. Plus, they now have regular unleaded with no ethanol, unleaded with ethanol, 2%, and 11% biodiesel fuel, all available at their station and available for bulk delivery throughout the area. Plus, Wolf can take care of your propane needs, including tank leasing. Just call Wolf Oil, North Old Route 66 in Litchfield, 324-4086.
A cross-species drill is taking place this week in Washington, D.C. to test the crisis plan for a potential foot-and-mouth disease outbreak. Pork Checkoff Assistant Vice President of Communications Cindy Cunningham says this type of training is critical.
This kind of a drill is important to agriculture because it helps us to better prepare for a crisis response should we have a foot-and-mouth disease outbreak in the U.S. It also helps us to prepare for other diseases, other situations, other crises that impact the livestock industry in the U.S.
This drill will be held tomorrow, bringing together industry stakeholders,
including our government agency partners that we work with, to test the plan and to determine what went right in the plan, what needs to be changed in the plan, and just how we can update and continue to improve the response plan should we have a foot and mouth disease outbreak in the United States. It's important for folks to remember this is just a drill of the plan. There is no foot and mouth disease in the United States. In fact, we've been free of the disease since 1929. The concern is if we were to get a foot and mouth disease outbreak in the United States, the impact that it could have on the livestock industry and the nation for that purpose.
This effort ties together all segments of animal agriculture. Cunningham says this cross-species approach enhances communications and the overall crisis response.
It's important to understand that when beef, dairy, pork, and lamb are working together on this issue, we're partners in protecting the agriculture and specifically the livestock industries of the U.S. There are times that we all compete for the protein choice of consumers, but in this case, it's an important tool for all of us to be working together to make sure that we can continue to protect our industries and be able to move forward should something like this attack all of our industries.
Again, that was Pork Checkoff Assistant Vice President of Communications, Cindy Cunningham. According to a Time magazine article, a new federally funded study published in Nature Climate Change has found that biofuels made from corn waste, or corn stover, release 7% more greenhouse gases over the short term than gasoline. That's because by using corn stover as a fuel source, farmers aren't letting the plant residue remain in their fields, when over time it would enrich the soil with carbon. The carbon gained by swapping out gasoline with next-generation ethanol made from corn stover doesn't make up for the additional carbon lost by the soil. While next-generation biofuels are better for the climate over the long term, the study concludes they're not green enough to meet federal standards for subsidies, which require cellulosic ethanol to produce at least 60% less carbon than gasoline. American Farm Bureau economist Matthew Erickson says there's a tremendous disconnect in this study's assumptions from real-world stover to fuel practices.
This study implied that all farmers would willingly and consistently remove 60 to 75% of the corn residue from their fields. And it didn't take into consideration anything that a farmer conducts within their normal operation.
Best practices recommended for residue removal are that no more than 40 to 50% of residue is removed for no-till systems, 20 to 30% for conservation tillage practices, and 0 to 10% for conventional tillage. But Erickson says the farmers removing stover from the field are only removing 10 to 25%.
The high majority of farmers would be hesitant to take off the 60 to 75% of stover because they're going to need this residue to put back onto the field to nourish and to replenish the soil for next year's crop.
This is not the first time biofuels have come under fire. Previous arguments included the worry of taking away forest and prairie land to grow crops for biofuels and food prices increasing as the result of food crop-based fuels. Erickson says there are numerous other studies from reliable sources, such as the USDA, that show how biofuels benefit the environment beyond reducing greenhouse gas emissions.
One benefit from biofuels is it's environmentally cleaner, and air emissions from vehicles using biofuels are cleaner than gasoline, which reduces smog.
But the moral of the story seems to be that more research is going to be done or needs to be done in the argument of biofuels being better or worse for the environment when you look at the big picture. That's all for this afternoon's Farm Show. For WSMI, I'm Angela Besh. Thanks for tuning in.